Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Healthy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Healthy Tuesday, Rachel.
Where are we going today?
How are you?
Ah, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're going in the direction forward. That is the theme for today. We are moving forward, because if we don't keep moving forward, we're just going to get stuck in a rut and not be able to find our way out. So today's theme is moving forward. And part of also today's theme revolves around this kind of the quote, or the, I don't know if it's quote is the right word, but the mantra that I use in my classes and when working with people, just kind of this whole essence of life. So I'm going to throw it out for you. How would you change? How would your life be different if you knew that your only true responsibility was to find a way to live that supports your mental health and well-being, and the mental health and well-being of those you love and are responsible for? Because that really is the essence of everything, that our only real responsibility is to find a way to live that supports our mental health and well-being. And yet, if you look at how we live, if you step back and kind of peered inwards, you might point out a few things in your own life that don't support your mental health and well-being, and definitely don't support the mental health and well-being of those you love and are responsible for. And yet we keep on plowing down that path. And so I use that to kind of center my classes every year, as I use that quote. And I said, think about that throughout the quarter when we talk about all these different topics about love and marriage and family and parenting and aging and midlife and death and dying. Kind of, we go through the whole life cycle, and think about that quote or that mantra, that idea, that throughout this entire process, if you really focused on your mental health and well-being and the mental health and well-being of those you love and are responsible for, you would have a model for what your life should actually look like. Because one of the reasons that we get into trouble is that we don't have a set structure of what life is supposed to be, which is also one of the things that we love being in a free society, is that there is no one way to live. But when there are so many choices, it leaves us very vulnerable to following shiny objects that probably are not in our best interest. And I won't go into listing them all, because we all know what our Achilles heels are, or what those temptations are, or those things that really don't support our best interests. But because we don't have a grand poobah that flies in and tells us how we're supposed to live, unless you've, you know, created a circle or a life where you do have one, you know, supreme person who is telling you how to live, because we don't have that, it's really hard to have the discipline to pull ourselves back, to find some order, to find some structure that really supports our mental health and well-being. Because the things that are tempting are so tempting. Right? Those things that aren't so good for us are so attractive. And so I've been thinking about that quote, or that idea, that mantra, and thinking about how it is that we sustain our mental health. What are those tenets to a good mental health? What is it that we need to do to make sure we're supporting our well-being? And so we've talked about this in the past, but the first one is meaningful work. And that's on all of us to figure out what gives our life meaning. And all work can be meaningful if we apply benefits to it, whether it's because it allows us to support our family, it allows us to take care of others, it does something to help others. You know, all work can be meaningful if we identify it. The second tenet is to have strong, supportive, connected relationships. And that's not with your 1,400 Facebook friends. That really comes down to about 25 people that you can really sustain relationships with. And that changes throughout our lives. Rarely do you have just one core group that stays your core group forever. If you're lucky enough, you have, you know, a handful of people that are with you for the whole ride. But to really nurture and work on those strong connected relationships, because having that support network, that safety net, helps us to feel less isolated or alone or lonely. It helps support our mental health. It helps to give us a reason to get up in the morning. The third tenet is being of service to others. Because when we get out of our own way, when we are feeling like our existence matters because we are in service of others, it does a lot to improve mental health. It reduces anxiety, it reduces depression, gives us better self-esteem. And it's apropos that today is Giving Tuesday, because if we want to start off with one tenet of mental health, you can start off on a Giving Tuesday. Then to look at what are your habits when it comes to being of service to others. And I know you've been, my inbox is so full of please give, please get, please gives. It's everywhere. So it's not news that today is Giving Tuesday. But it's not just about giving financially, although financially is really important, but it's the idea of a worldwide celebration of generosity. That's kind of at the heart of Giving Tuesday, that we're in the midst of a worldwide celebration of generosity and this tradition of giving that we have as people, as humans. We are innately very generous with each other, at times more so than at others. And it may not surprise you to know that in this time of pandemic, we actually have seen greater outpourings of generosity than in previous times when things seem to be going well. So we have a tradition of giving and wanting to be of service. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some of those ways that we can give that don't have to be financially based. And you can find more ideas just by going to the givingtuesday.org if you want to find out more. But I thought these were really interesting ways to start a tradition of giving in your family if you haven't started one already. Because again, if our only job is learning how to live in a way that supports our mental health and well-being, that third tenet, learning to be of service to others, is important to start as a habit and tradition when our children are very young. Because when children grow up in a home that has traditionally been very giving to others, and children learn about service and they get those great feelings of giving to others, then it becomes just a natural part of their life. It's always there. It's always there helping to maintain their well-being. So a couple of the ideas that I thought were really interesting. One was paying for a stranger's order. If you're buying something today and there's someone behind you, pay for them and go on your merry way. You can create a donation station. You know, you've seen those libraries, you know, the little donation libraries. So you can make one that has kind of a drop box, and you can put on the front of the donation station who the money or what the money is going to. So you can have that out front. Reach out to the elderly by leaving a care package on a doorstep that is just maybe some flowers or fresh baked goods or some canned goods, just a little anonymous gift. Make sure you're reaching out to your people, check in on them, send them a text, send them a picture. My parents love getting pictures, so find random pictures and send them out to your parents. Send them a snail mail letter. Have your kids sit down, draw a picture, stick it in an envelope. The kids will have a great time. Put the address on, stick it in the mail. That's a great way to touch someone's heart and to make you feel good. Make a poster, hang it in your window at your house, showing gratitude for essential workers, or as a poster, a sign of hope. Offer compliments to strangers just as you go by. Nice mask, which is mostly what we're saying to each other, but find a way to compliment others. You can volunteer virtually. You can surprise someone with a parade. The car parade's very popular. And those are just a few things we can do to hit number three, to start a tradition of being of service. The fourth tenet is good health. And part of that is DNA. Part of that's genetic. So a little bit of that be of good health, we're either born with or not. But of course, there are things we can do to help ourselves feel better, like exercise and eat well and kind of focus on those things that can enhance our quality of life. Because the better we feel, the more generous we can be and the more love that we can share with others. And so those are some good basic tenets of our mental health and well-being. And along with that piece of my story this week, I've been thinking about the traditions piece, because traditions, those things that help kind of ground our lives, are what become the foundation of our mental health and well-being. Traditions are the way that we mark time, something that we look forward to every year or every month or every day, whatever your tradition is. But when we have traditions, it helps to give our lives structure, and it helps us to have hope. You know, we might be going through a rough time now, but we can look forward to whatever this traditional, you know, trip to the shore or our traditional family hike or our traditional meal or our traditional way of celebrating birthdays. When we have traditions that we celebrate consistently over many years, it starts to give us a strong sense of grounded unity and identity. And so I thought for today, we would talk about traditions, why they matter, what they look like, how you can start them, what they can do to jumpstart our mental health and well-being. And I've invited someone who has spent many years celebrating traditions with me to be my guest on the show today. And that's my lifelong childhood best friend. She was my next door neighbor growing up. She was the maid of honor in my wedding. And she is probably the most creative individual I know. And when it comes to making things in life fun, she knows how to bring the fun to life with simple ways of celebrating a big game or celebrating a holiday or celebrating a good grade. She knows how to create an atmosphere that makes being part of her life fun. And that's a big part of our mental health as well, is how do we create joy? How do we continue to bring joy into our life to supplement and fulfill us when we are also faced with things that are challenging? So my friend Sherry Vier will be joining us in a bit. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And although we aren't opening the phone lines as we've traditionally done, we do have a way that you can be part of the conversation by giving us a call at 805-549-8855. You can ask a question, leave a comment, and Rachel will be happy to share them with me so I can answer you, and we'll somehow connect. But you can also connect with me through Facebook or Instagram. And if you check out our Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT or Reluctant Therapist on Facebook, you can see a few pictures of Sherry and me as we were growing up. I think they're kind of fun. You can also listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org, or you can podcast by going to wherever you find your podcast, search for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, hit subscribe, and you can listen to the show at your convenience. And if you share the show with friends or leave a review, it helps to grow our community. So I look forward to seeing where the show takes us today. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to continue our conversation.
Tradition. Without our traditions, our lives would be as shaky as a fiddler on the roof.
You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And let's talk about traditions. Because I know that a lot of people may be feeling this partially the way I am. I mean, I'll be honest. I haven't gone out and grabbed our Christmas tree. Our family tradition has always been to go get our tree the day after Thanksgiving and to decorate it on the Saturday. And it's pulling out the old ornaments and remembering what every ornament is part of. And I love that. And I love the smell of my house at this time of year. But we didn't get a tree. We're not going to get a tree. And not because I'm as humbug as I'm actually feeling, but because my daughter Kirsten is having a baby in the next few weeks. And so we'll be moving and quarantining and doing all of our holidays together. So they'll have a tree. So I will have a tree. But I will say that it feels a little strange because Thanksgiving was different. We weren't able to do it with my big extended family. We did a Zoom call with everyone so we could do our traditional what I'm thankful for, and everyone had a chance to speak. We did that, and it's different, and I get that. And so I understand if you're feeling like, why bother putting up decorations? Why bother making special meals if there aren't all my people to come eat them? Why buy gifts? Why send cards? I understand if you're feeling that way, because I think that that is kind of goes along with what we're all feeling and the uncertainty of the world. But I'd like to offer a reframe because, yes, I see the new restrictions coming and things are not getting easier. We're starting to lock down again. But instead of railing against what is and focusing on all the things that you can't do and won't be able to do, why not focus on all of the things you actually can do now that you couldn't do before when your life was incredibly busy? And you didn't have time to write Christmas cards. You didn't have time to make Christmas cookies, so you bought them at the store. You didn't have time to think about, you know, hand making a gift. There are things we can actually do now that enhance our mental health and well-being that can actually inspire new traditions. But we have to be able to let go of the anger and disappointment we're feeling because we can't have things the way we wanted to have them, and we're going to give them up. So, Rachel, just to put you on the spot, nothing like being new to a show and then being put on the spot, but are there traditions that you enjoy and you're looking forward to or not?
Yeah, my family and I have lots of traditions that we do every year, but none of them are happening. Every year we have the same plastic tree that we pull out of the garage and we decorate it after Thanksgiving, and we put the little, you know, tree scented ornaments in it so it smells like a real tree, and we feel good about that. And, you know, we, of course, gather and make awesome food, and we get to see each other, and it's always great. But this year we're not gathering. We're all in different parts of California, so we can't really come together safely. And I'm working also, so I'll be here at the station. So it is a very different holiday this year. I am excited, though, to hopefully do some new traditions. I'm thinking maybe I'll be able to just, you know, have some Chinese food on the floor of my new house with a roommate who will also be working the holiday, and we will be able to commiserate together.
And yes, it'll be a new tradition started up in some way. And it's okay to mourn a bit the loss of the ways that things used to be. It's okay. Connect and gather. I get that. But then to take this opportunity to then think, what would be new? What will be the new way that we can participate and do things together? And before we start to think about those new traditions, I want to sell you again on this idea of why traditions are so important. Because again, I think when we're frustrated or feeling disappointed, it's easy to let go of or toss out things that were important because we're feeling sad. But traditions historically bring greater meaning to our lives in many ways. One, they make celebrations feel more special because we do something the same. We have that same star in the tree. We have that same meal. It enhances what those celebrations look like. Maybe it's a birthday celebration and you always have this special
something the same.
And so that's something that we can think about, is how do we enhance our celebrations? It bonds us to our loved ones, you know, from the kids that are 2 years old to the grandparents that are 90. When you do the same thing each year, it connects everyone. The two-year-old, by the time they're 5 or 6 or 7, remembers that every year, you know, grandpa does something or we have the same meal. And so it connects you intergenerationally. Traditions remind us that life actually goes on, even in times of adversity. And I remember reading the research about how important it is to continue with traditions after a loved one has passed away, because it's so destabilizing to families to lose someone, right, that's inherent to the family system. But if you can still gather and have the same meal or decorate the tree or have the same story, then everyone feels like, even though we are mourning the loss of this person, even though our life will never be exactly the same, we will still carry on. We'll all still be okay. It'll just be different. And so traditions are a way that we work through the grieving process. They help hold us together when we're feeling very fractured. They help us feel connected. Traditions help us feel connected to something bigger than ourselves. And I mentioned that earlier when it comes to mental health, that we need to feel like that life matters in a way that is meaningful in a way that's more than just our own wants and needs. And so when we have these traditions we look forward to, taking first day of school pictures, you know, honoring the changing of the seasons, when we have those traditions, it makes us feel like our life is more than just ourselves. Traditions help us take part of and feel a sense of unity with others, and whether it's just our family or whether it's our community. For example, traditions are not just religious and they're not just communal, but they also can be around a sporting event. And I keep thinking of the annual Super Bowl or tennis tournaments or, you know, sporting events that people around the country tune into. And when you put on your jersey and you have your snacks and you know that people all over the country are having the same experience, it makes you feel connected to the entire community, right? To our entire structure as a culture. And so traditions give our lives a sense of identity. Who are we? How do we identify ourselves? Traditions give us a sense of identity. And the other part of traditions that are so important is that it's how we, in our very essence, pass along our family heritage, our family stories, our family culture, and also our beliefs and our values. They're passed along through the foods that we make, through the ways we honor new births or deaths or birthdays or marriages or any other transitional events. It's how we look at holidays and celebrate the different holidays. They are how we pass along our history to our children and to create some sense of unity moving forward. And then the last piece about traditions is that it gives us a sense of purpose and action. And I think that's really what's important right now, is that things can feel very stuck, like we're in a time warp that hasn't moved, that we're still wearing the same clothes we were wearing back in March, right? That we're still doing the same things we were doing since things started to unravel. And traditions help us to, again, move forward and mark time. If it's the traditions of watching the seasons turn, you know, if it's looking at the full moon every month and making a tradition to go outside and just spend some time basking in the moonlight, it helps to mark time moving forward to remind us that we have to keep moving forward, that we have to keep growing and progressing, that we can't allow ourselves to get stuck. And traditions motivate us to get moving, whether it's creating something, decorating something, making something, it gets us moving. So I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And today we're talking about traditions under the bigger topic of what would be different in your life. What would you change if you knew that your only job was to find a way to live that maintains your mental health and well-being and the mental health and well-being of those you love and are responsible for? Our number is 805-549-8855 if you'd like to call with a comment or question. And I can see, because I love this part of Zoom, is that I can have a conversation with someone who is in Hawaii while I am here in California. And I see my child's best friend. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. You are here with us. We can see you and hear you.
Oh, so you can hear me.
Yes,
oh, we're perfect.
Good. All right, aloha. So aloha. This is, again, if we have to look for the silver lining in things, you and I have had more opportunities to talk and chat and visit than we've had in a long time because our lives have markedly slowed down since the pandemic and given us a chance to kind of connect with memories and people that we kind of had lost touch with. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And catch up.
Yeah. And so One of the reasons I wanted to have you here with us today is because you make everything fun. Every party, every birthday, you do. And I will say, that I don't know if it's because you've been a teacher your whole life, and maybe that's a teacher thing, that teachers are great at making celebrations out of everything, or maybe because the school year kind of moves through, you know, these passages, so everything's a tradition. Why are you so fun? What makes you so fun?
Oh, wow. Well, I think everybody's fun and everybody's looking for what you said, you know, to keep in your mental health together, and pleasure is definitely part of that. So I think when you take the traditions of holidays, for example, you know, we always celebrated Thanksgiving together and our families, and that was a tradition. You know, our dads always went golfing on Thanksgiving Day. And then it became part of the boys, you know, the sons then got involved. So I think that, and everybody has things that maybe if they think back on, they can continue these traditions in their own families.
So what are the traditions that you most look forward to in your family? Because yes, and I didn't say this, that we grew up next door to each other. So we spent most of our holidays together in some way, always Thanksgiving, some part of Christmas, some part of Easter, and then Halloween, you would show up in some sort of costume and baked goods in a basket.
Right.
So we have,
right. And birthdays.
Yes. So we have a history of doing that, but you carried on these traditions throughout your whole adult life and with your own kids. So yeah. What were your favorites?
Well, this is a funny one, is that when I was growing up, something that my mom would do would get, she would get bear claws on your birthday, on the birthday morning. And so I carried that on with my own boys. And what's funny now is, you know, there's lots of options besides the Svenhardt bear claws that are already packaged and probably heavily processed. But still, we buy those packaged bear claws. Mm-hmm. Every person who has a birthday celebration, that's what we get. So that's kind of fun.
Do they get to eat the entire package or just one?
Only you would ask that. No, you have to share it. And, you know, they only come in threes unless you find a bonus with six. And then depending upon how many people, you know, it was like a huge special deal just to get one. So, yeah. And also the other birthday celebration is, remember how you get to pick whatever you want? That's a tradition. You pick your meal on your birthday.
Yes.
And as I recall, Jamie, your brother, always picked liver and onions for his birthday fare.
I can't imagine that he would do that, because he's such a simple guy. But that is true, that it's funny that even now, 50 years later, that we can remember what we were doing when we were young, what we ate, who was there, because we had this tradition of gathering in a certain way that in some way implanted those memories in us to carry forward. You know, that part of what makes a tradition is the intention behind it. When you sit at the table and you have a toast and you say, we gather together because we love each other, or we gather together because this is important. And when you put meaning into the activity, it starts to really sink in and become what bonds us. And your dad loved the traditions of toasting at all the events, and would usually come up with a long speech that we'd have to endure before we could eat.
And those toasts have continued, right? You know, before we break bread, there's a toast. Yeah.
And so what is it that you most have tried to hang on to? Because you've now had a lot of changes in your life. You've moved from the mainland to Hawaii. Your kids are kind of grown, except for your youngest, and they're in different places. So how have you been able to maintain like the traditions of the bear claws in the morning? But like with Thanksgiving or different holidays, if you can't gather everyone, what is it you do that kind of is a tradition that your kids know is an expectation?
Well, they're kind of starting their own traditions now in their own lives. Like just to use that bear claw example again, I did get a letter from one of my boys thanking me for the kind birthday present, but he missed the bear claws. So that's something, you know, obviously he has retained. But I think more the traditions are you do them innately, but you also do it to keep your balance and to have some sense of control, you know, especially now during the pandemic. And it's just kind of a grounding. And so as I set up the house for Christmas, I was thinking, no one's going to see this but me. And, you know, my family, who's my intimate family right here on island. And then I thought, so why, you know, why are you even doing all this work? Because it's enormous to decorate for Christmas. And I just said, because it's just so important, you know, even if it's just for the people who are living in the house. And I think that creates some kind of normalcy that we're looking for, striving for, you know, whatever that may be.
Agreed. If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest today is my childhood best friend and also my maid of honor, Sherry Vieira. She is calling in from the Big Island of Hawaii, and I'm going to pick her brain about how she created these fun traditions, because you don't have the benefit of getting to see all of the posts I have over the years of different foods that she's created and decoration she's created to honor different big events in her family. And I'd be curious to know what your traditions are, if you're also continuing to create them, or if you've found a new way to gather or to have traditions while we go through this pandemic. Our number is 805-549-8855 if you'd like to share a comment or question, and Rachel will be happy to read them to me. We're going to take a quick break and get back to our conversation. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Country music singers have always been a real close family. But lately, some of my kinfolk have disowned a few others than me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition. They get on me and want to know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the song that you wrote? Over and over, everybody.
You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Ferret, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And here we are almost, 9 months into the pandemic, and I think I have a new tradition of doing my show over Zoom. And I've tried to embrace this new way of doing things by reaching out and being able to have conversations with people that I wouldn't generally have the benefit of getting on the air with me. So I reached out to my childhood best friend, Sherry Vieira. It's so funny to say her name out loud on the air as a secret. But yes, I grew up next door to this person, and we were each other's maid of honors in our weddings. We have raised kids next door to each other, and we know all of each other's secrets. But the other thing that we have shared are a lot of traditions. And I want to talk about how they've carried on, because your mom, Hildy, who passed away last year, was kind of the queen of traditions and making things special and making sure that we honored the passage of different events. And so how have you carried that on?
Well, some traditions, you know, you have to just keep them the same, but you kind of just have to make your own at times and change your dichotomy to match the times. So here's an example. You know, my mom always made that stolen on Christmas Eve and would bring it to the neighbors, and come hell or high water, that stolen, it always showed up. It wasn't my favorite, I have to say, and it really didn't become a favorite of my kids. Guess what I made this year? I already made the first batch of stolen, just because, you know what, it reminded me of her. It was such a big part of our growing up. And I've kind of tweaked the recipe a little bit. It was only the first go round, but I tweaked it enough that I think it's going to be okay. And we can carry that tradition on.
And why was it important to your mom to make the stolen and to pass them to neighbors? You know, why do you think that she started that?
I think that some people bring other people sugar cookies or decorated, you know, cakes or whatever during the holidays. And her mom used to make stolen. So that's how that kind of, you know, continued on. And it's sort of a nice holiday festive gift to give. They feel good.
And I think one of the things I mentioned earlier is, instead of railing against all the things we can't do this year, to maybe pay attention to some of the things we can do. And one of them might be taking the time to make a recipe, you know, that was passed down that you don't usually have time to do. And one of them is like the box of Christmas cookies, or it can be potting a plant and dropping it off at a neighbor's house. You know, my husband, Chris, you know, he's a gardener. And so he loves taking cuttings and replanting them. But it's something that on our list of having time for is never very high up there. But now kind of kicking in that tradition of sharing the bounty of his garden or the bounty of the cuttings from his garden is happening again. It's almost like traditions, things that we did when we were younger, we're having more time to do, or reigniting them.
Absolutely. That's a great idea too. Something living that you can nurture. If your dog has puppies, you could give puppies away.
And traditionally, you've always had dogs our entire life that barked. So I'm glad that that has continued on as another tradition.
Very apropos. But anyway, you know, I think because I don't have, the boys have not had grandbabies yet, or their own kids yet. So I don't have grandbabies. So we're still in flux. I'm not really sure which things they're going to carry on with their own kids. But I know during their birthday celebrations, we would have different themes. And that always made it so much fun, you know.
And so what are some of your favorite themes that you've carried out? Only appropriate themes.
You know, just depending on the very appropriate. You know, I think we did a Pirates theme one year and a Native American theme another year. And just, you know, the kids would dress to it, lots of games. And those are things that you can do still, even during pandemic, maybe on Zoom. But everything kind of just takes a little bit of a different, I don't know, you have to look at it from a different angle, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, why are we doing it? Because I think that's important. You know, I think it's easy for the kids to not want to participate. I don't want to get on the Zoom, or I don't want to do the dress up, or I don't want to. But if we bully them enough and we make them participate, it surprisingly becomes the thing that they most remember when they get older. If for some reason, some of the most embarrassing things we made our kids do or we did are the things that we most remember. For example, I tried to find a picture to post on Instagram to share with everyone of some of the plays that we did during Thanksgiving.
Oh,
where we dress up our brothers.
Yes.
And
oh, yes.
So I remember those embarrassing plays that we gave every year and performances more than almost anything else. And so I think part of the fun of traditions is that they become kind of that unique, embarrassing story that unites you in a common experience.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. I think so. And just helping you have that memory.
Yeah. Yeah. To move forward.
Of how that year was maybe. Yeah. Yep.
So this year is your first.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I say, so this year is your first year without your mom, who was the queen of, you know, celebrations and traditions and gathering and wanting to make sure we always had a happy home, right? And looked after each other. So what's something, I know that you decorated everything because you wanted to honor your mom, but what's something else that you, and you made the stolen. So what is one other way that you are kind of looking to carry the mantle of your mom's spirit into the next season?
Oh, well, I know that this is probably a thing of the past, but to remember Christmas cards.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes. I mean, I know some people send them. A lot of people probably send them, but I don't know. We talked about this earlier, how you and I are boomers, but we're not really boomers, but we are boomers. We kind of thought we were ex-gens.
But Gen X,
boomers,
yes, we're
send
speed.
Christmas cards. I don't think these new guys, yeah. I don't think they send Christmas cards as much as many people do. So anyway, I'm going to institute putting together some Christmas cards and send them via the mail.
Yeah.
United States Parcel Service.
Well, and that's what's...
Do you send Christmas cards?
Well, I always have. And I put together a whole collage of pictures
for
the whole year and then write a note, a hand note every time.
Oh, there you go.
It's one of the few things I actually really make time for, because I think if I don't have time to actually write a handwritten note to the people I'm sending the card to, then my life is way too busy with things that can't be that important. Because if I'm that connected to this group of people, I should care enough about them to put pen to paper and have something to say. So I have to say that is probably one of my strongest traditions that marks the year every year, is that I go through the pictures, you know, of our family through the year, and I try to get six that kind of sum up what we did this year. And then I make a collage card and I send that out and I just kind of write a handwritten whatever's up, catch up to the people that I'm sending the cards to. And that is really important to me because it marks our family's year. It gives me a chance to reach out to people that I love and let them know that they're in my heart at this time. And if I have time for nothing else, that kind of wraps up the year for me every year. So that feels important.
And it connects. It's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a connection. And I know receiving those letters, cards, and the pictures helps me stay in touch with what your year looked like and how everybody's doing or what they're doing and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So as easy as it is to just write Merry Christmas and sign your name, thinking of you, it is so important to make it more than just that, I think.
And as I mentioned earlier, part of traditions and the importance of carrying on, whether it's making that lasagna every year on Christmas Eve or, you know, going and getting the tree, and then even getting away from the religious holidays piece of the religious traditions, because, you know, if that's not really how your family celebrates, traditions are found in our communal activities, you know, gathering at different fairs or events or going for hikes or doing a traditional camping trip or, you know, every year meeting up at the same place and having a bonfire. You know, those are communal activities. There are traditions that go around sporting events. You know, again, the Super Bowl or big tennis, you know, tournaments. That's kind of our family thing. But like your boys are all athletes. And I imagine you had traditions around, you know, how to celebrate the big win or the end of the season. Like, how did you kind of have those traditions to mark the celebrations of those events?
Well, I think there's always, you know, the festive family dinners, you know, where you'd have the team dinners to hype the guys up. And that's a traditional before the big game. So I think food is a big commonality in traditions.
Agreed. Yeah. And was your home the center of all of those, you know, hype up pregame dinners? Were you the cook?
No, you know what? You couldn't do that with that, with a team. So parents would team up with maybe two or three other parents and go ahead and host the different nights of team dinners. And I think in that way that, again, bonds a community, and you kind of had your own football family.
Mm-hmm. And so it almost then transcends actually the game itself. Is that when you come together, you have this shared experience, it's how you build that community, the traditions of the pregame dinner or having, you know, the, I don't know if they still did that where you have like the secret pal who would send gifts to the different players and kind of support them. But I think that's probably one of the things when we talk about the things we're missing right now is those kind of ways of supporting and having community around those sporting events. And so the challenge is, how do we translate that kind of tradition of team building and community building if we can't meet, you know, and have a football game or have the community dinners? What would that look like to carry on that tradition to mark the passage of time?
Yeah. And I don't know. I just don't even, you know, not having kids in those sports any longer. I don't even know how they're doing that. Yeah. That's a hard
I think
one.
It is a challenge. Of course, I'm always spinning ideas and I'm thinking, well, that's where those parades, you know, of driving by people's houses and putting up posters and, you know, maybe even everyone getting in their own car and kind of doing a parade and circling them around. And, you know,
there you go.
To be creative, because if we let go completely of the traditions, of the reasons that we come together, of the passing along of our values and beliefs and our heritage, then we do start to break down our social structure. And so,
So
it's so important to, even if we're not feeling it, which a lot of people aren't, to kind of continue moving forward and do those bonding activities, those celebrations in any form that you can, because that's how we sustain our mental health and well-being, which has been kind of the overarching theme today. Now, I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. My best friend, Sherry Vieira, is zooming in from the Big Island of Hawaii, where she lives with her family. And it's fun to see you. And it reminds me that, you know, one of the things that one of the things that makes us who we are those experiences we had when we were young and the people we shared them with. And I think that continuation of our family histories of getting to spend holidays together, or even, you know, going to school together or playing sports together, like that sense of you knew me when, right, when I was 5 years old, 10 years old, that gives my life a sense of kind of grounding. Like your witnessing of that experience grounds it. And I think this is a great time for people to find someone, reach out and connect with someone who carries your history, so that you can kind of walk through and revisit those things that made you who you are.
Yeah. Just one side note. As you were saying, there was drive-bys, you know, maybe doing a parade or, you know, in the car driving by. I know that cheerleaders used to do that back in the day when they would, right before a big game, they would come with toilet paper. And now that's absolutely taboo because of toilet paper being in such high demand. But that was, they kind of had the idea minus the toilet paper, to just go by the players' houses and let them leave their mark. And, you know, they could still do that just without the toilet paper, you know, maybe a bag of candy or, you know, some note.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be fun to get the kids to make signs for the people that they really like and to go to their houses and kind of put the signs in their yards. Just thinking of you, or I miss you, or here's a picture of us. What a fun way to kind of like have these random signs that you go around and put up at all of your friends' houses.
Well, and that's what toilet paper meant.
Yeah.
I like you. I want your attention.
Although I would beg to differ. I don't think that all the times that our pine trees in the front yard got toilet papered, that was anyone saying they liked us, because cleaning that up was the worst experience ever.
Oh, but that meant they liked us even more if they took that kind of effort and time to put toilet paper in those trees.
And then spray water on them so they were almost impossible to get the toilet paper out. Now let's be honest.
Okay, but here's one more. How about May Day? May Day is approaching, and May Day is so fun in that it's flowers, right? And I just remember always leaving a bouquet of violets at old Mrs. Bryant's house or Mrs. Hadley's house, you know, and dinging the doorbell and ditching. And that was just, to me, the greatest thing. And so we had no contact, so we were already ahead of ourselves. And we just left something nice that I'm sure, you know, may brighten their day in some way.
And it is funny because in a way it was a ding dong ditch that you and I would, you know, put the flowers down and then run around the corner to watch and try to guess who left it there. But I miss that tradition of May Day. I loved that. And I tried to do it with my girls often every year. But because it kind of fell out of fashion a little bit, they thought, why are you making us do that? But that is a good COVID activity, and you don't have to wait till May Day. You could do
right.
You can decorate a little tree and ding dong ditch somebody's house.
Exactly. Yeah, I think during these pandemic times, just anything that you can do to bring, you know, something that's happy into it and make somebody else feel good, because that makes you feel good, and just carrying on these traditions. And thinking them through and not just doing them because, well, it's Valentine's Day and I have to eat chocolate or I have to send that person a rose. It can just take on a new meaning. And we think about this so much more so because of the pandemic. As before, we were just on a straight road, just headed for what you had to do next. As now, we have to get clever and we have to think out of the box. How can we make this happen?
And it is true that I think one of the, you know, the things we've talked about over and over is that it's caused us all to slow down. And so we have time to do things that we didn't, that we loved when we were young and don't have time for now. But it's then having the wherewithal, right, to kind of get out of our sense of feeling kind of depressed or maybe sad and getting started, like making that stolen and playing with the recipe a little bit. And then once you made it and it was pretty good, I would imagine that uplifts your spirits. And so it's almost after the event that we realize, oh, I feel great.
Yes.
I did this.
Yes. It's all about controlling the monkey mind.
Yeah.
You know.
And modeling for our kids too how to do that, because they're looking at us right now and seeing how we're handling everything.
Yes, definitely. And you know, just saying, Amazon has become very popular and everybody's best friend. You know, in the sense that you can send things so easily and so quickly to let someone know that you're thinking of them. As before, you wouldn't really need to. You know, you could just go and visit that person or bring their gift in person. And so I think that Amazon has taken on a different level of convenience.
And I think to kind of wrap things up, because the hour goes so fast, the two things that I was, or three things, was one, how would we live differently if we realized that our only real job was to find a way to live that supports our mental health and well-being and the mental health and well-being of those we love and are responsible for? And if you really hone in on that, it peels away a lot of the excess noise and things that we've spent time doing that don't really matter. And then the other piece is, how do we support our mental health by finding meaningful work, having good relationships, being of service to others, taking care of our health. And part of that is the giving of ourselves to others. And today is Giving Tuesday. And so we don't have to give in cash dollars, although cash helps for those organizations that we love. But how can you give of yourself in simple ways? Like you said, you know, reaching out, sending a little note to someone. I love this idea of making posters and having the kids go around and put little notes in people's yards, say, I'm thinking about you. Like, be creative in the giving part, because ultimately the giving of ourselves feeds and fuels our well-being. And good mental health helps our immune systems so that we can be strong moving forward. Sherry, thank you so much for Zooming in today.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Our moms would be so proud of us for being so mature for an entire half hour.
Yes, Gloria, that is true.
I look forward to Zooming with you again. This has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and you can still reach out by sending me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can follow me on Facebook or Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. You can leave me a message there, check out our photos, follow the show, see what's coming up. You can listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org and look under the News Talk tab, and all of the shows from the last 10 years are there for you to peruse and check out. Or you can podcast our show by visiting wherever you podcast, ask your children for help, they'll show you how to find it and subscribe, and you can listen at your own convenience. But as always, I am thankful for the opportunity to be here every Tuesday at 2 to talk with all of you, to share those things that I'm grappling with, and hopefully you're grappling as well. And I look forward to getting back together again next Tuesday. Thank you for listening and supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Grandma bragging about the blanket she made for the new baby on her way, even though the daddy ain't really ready. This child is coming anyway. Yeah, Niecy made her famous potato salad. Somehow it turns out green. Maybe it's all the scallions, could be the celery. But oh, Uncle Jerome loves it. Hey, baby, baby, here comes my says he's doing fine, taking it one step a day, but in my heart I know it ain't that way. What can I say? It's family. And oh, what can I say? Juicy been drinking again. Ooh, it's only 1:30 in the afternoon. Everybody tiptoeing round.